excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
Now, if we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best
of friends. Moron, your bus is leaving. Keep turning our way, and our way
is on the road again. Welcome to this Colorado edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford, reporting to you from my living room as I didn't make the trip out to Colorado. Those days of traveling to all the games, I think, are behind me for good. But I do make sure to watch all the games, of course. And, I think in the future I'll try to get to 1 to 2 road games a year, but not to all of them ever again. However, it was an enjoyable game to watch. It was a 36-33 overtime victory for the Bears. The Bears seem to continue to do well in overtime, winning games, even stealing them from the jaws of defeat from time to time. Quick recap. Things actually looked pretty good for Colorado to start this game. They marched all the way down the field, but were stymied when they went for it for 4th and 1 deep in the Cal red zone. They got a second opportunity to get it down the field, and this time wisely chose to kick the field goal and were up 3-0 at the end of the first quarter. However, the Bears were in the middle of driving down the field and did get into the end zone early in the second quarter, but continuing a trend from last week that's very troublesome, Giorgio Tavecchio missed the extra point, and the Bears were only up 6-3. Tavecchio redeemed himself a little bit later in the quarter by kicking a 39-yard field goal right through the uprights with plenty of room to spare. Colorado then more than matched that effort with a 52-yard field goal with 4:45 left in the half. But the Bears really opened things up with a nice drive down the field, capped by a great pass by Maynard to Anthony Miller, who just powered his way, absolutely overpowered the defender hanging on to him for a 7-yard touchdown. Tavecchio makes the kick this time, and the Bears have a 10-point lead going into halftime. And things actually felt pretty good at that point. The Bears were doing a better job of shutting down Colorado's offense, and the Bears' offense seemed to be getting some rhythm going. However, in the third quarter, Colorado really opened things up. They got a very long pass to Ryan Drehan down the field for a touchdown to make it 16-13. The Bears responded with another good drive, this again with capped with a pass to Anthony Miller, who had a great day, to keep their 10-point lead. But then the wheels kind of fell off the bus for a while. Two very long passes to Paul Richardson put the Bucks ahead 27-23 early in the fourth quarter. And things were just looking like the Bears were in no way going to be able to keep pace with Colorado. The defense was looking winded and tired, and the long plays were just killing the Bears. But they made some adjustments at that point. That was the last long pass for Colorado, and the Bears came back with another touchdown drive. This one capped by C.J. Anderson on a 20-yard run, who really came into his own in this game and powering through the middle of the line. Colorado tied it up with a field goal with 30 seconds left in the game, driving down, but the Bears made the stop in the red zone to prevent Colorado from going ahead with the touchdown, sending it to overtime. The defense was right back on the field again, but prevented Colorado from getting into the end zone, forcing them to kick the field goal. And that set up the Bears' touchdown drive to win the game. Things looked really dicey after the first down got them down to the 15-yard line when a personal foul pushed them way back. They're at the 35-yard line and needed to get to the 5 for a first down. There was also a false start in there. But a great pass from Maynard to Allen got them down to the 3-yard line, and then a fade pattern from Maynard to Allen again into the corner of the end zone, got the touchdown for the game-winning score. Final score, 36-33. So because I'd like to end this on a positive note, I'll start with the negatives and go from there. The first huge negative was the complete inability of the Cal defensive line to get any pressure on Hansen, the Colorado quarterback. We didn't sack him all day. We didn't get close to sacking him all day. And I'm not sure exactly what the story was. It might be that the Bears were looking at the performance last week of Colorado and thinking they didn't need to bring a lot of heat. Could be the altitude had its impact on them and they had a hard time getting pressure. But whatever it was, the thought before the game that the Bears were just going to bowl over this weak and inexperienced Colorado offensive line did not pan out at all. And it's very worrisome for the season moving forward. We cannot afford, this defense is really dependent on getting pressure. And I am sure that we will be looking at the game film very heavily, that we will see a lot of Pendergast machinations over the week trying to figure out what happened and why we couldn't get any pressure, because it just wasn't working. In fact, when the Bears were successful was when they didn't try to bring the heat, because they were able to put a lot of men in coverage, keep Hansen confused, and do everything they needed to do so that they didn't get up the big plays. It was when we brought the heat that things went really awry. The screen passes were another example of that. The defensive line and the linebackers behind them rushing were just not in the right places at the right time. They were getting stymied. It just wasn't good all the way around. And I have to say that is the most concerning thing I saw on the field today. They really did look like they were outmatched by Colorado. And, you know, if Colorado was a team that had a history of having a great offensive line, I may not be too concerned about it. But one of two things is true. Either this Cal defensive line and the linebackers backing them up are going to have a lot of trouble getting pressure this year because they couldn't get pressure against a darn mediocre offensive line, or Colorado did something remarkable in the last 7 days to shore up their offensive line's problems. And you know, that might be true, because when you have youth, well, I don't know about miraculous, but it at least might be true that they came a long way. Because when you have youth who has potential, you get them into the film room, you show them what their problems are, you start scheming a little differently so that you're not as dependent on great play from your offensive line. You keep a running back in for protection, you do other things. You can make some changes that will take a line that looks very bad 1 week and make it look a lot better the next week. So it's possible that that's what we saw here early in the season, that could be the case. But I'm pretty worried. I must say that what I saw at Fresno State, I don't know, when I just saw it in person, I didn't feel that great about it in a lot of ways, but the stats and the sacks that piled up late in the game and the fumble recovery for a touchdown just made you think that, well, maybe my instincts were off and maybe I wasn't seeing what I should see. But this week on its own would really, really bother me. And then to add this kind of back of my head impression that I had that, you know, maybe Fresno State wasn't as good of a defensive performance as I thought, particularly on the line, starts glaring at me and really makes me worry. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how things go from here, but it is something to keep our eye on, something to definitely be concerned about. Now, in other areas, the offense, I think, actually had a lot of positive things going on, but some negative things. Definitely there were times where both the running game and the passing game were working. Keenan Allen only threw one truly ill-advised pass that was intercepted. For his experience level and all of that, that doesn't worry me one bit. He's allowed one of those particularly early in the game. So that doesn't worry me. The drops by the wide receivers definitely worry me. There were a lot of drops this week. I think some of that had to do with the altitude. One thing I saw for sure is this team was winded a lot, particularly the defense, but the offense too. And when you're winded, the little things is what you don't do well. The things that you assume are going to go fine. Things like grabbing the ball right. So, I don't know, maybe this will be a one-week thing, but if I were Tedford and I were Keesaw, I'd be running a lot of drills this week on catching the ball and ball security for the wide receivers, because that was a significant issue, and there were a number of opportunities that were nearly stalled because of those dropped passes. As I said, the running game did okay, not exceptionally. C.J. Anderson is a definite positive surprise. We've been looking for that power guy who can run the ball. The one thing that's a bit worrisome about him right now is we only bring him in when we know we're going to run the ball and we know we're doing a power formation, because he's just not experienced enough. He doesn't know the schemes well enough. And that's a real tell. You don't want to give the other team that knowledge. Ooh, we brought in C.J. Anderson. They are going to run the ball. So we really need to get to a point with him quickly where he can be brought in more general plays, and we can have that confidence that the defense will have to play us honest because they won't know for sure whether we're going to use him in a power formation, that we could go play action and he'll do his protections and pick things up. So that was a real positive sign. EC ran fine, I think. The blocking was okay. It wasn't great, but it was pretty good on the outside. I think in the middle was where it struggled a little bit. So, I don't know. There's some pluses and minuses from this game, but to get to really the positives, it's the heart. This team had a lot of heart today. This defense could have folded at three or four different times. When those two very quick in succession long touchdown drives happened, the defense could have folded, but they didn't. They made the corrections, they kept more safeties in, they changed their protections, and we didn't have any more of those. And they came up with two big stops down in the red zone to force overtime, then keep them to a field goal in overtime so that we could win with the touchdown. A lot of heart from that defense, and they were definitely winded. I saw them winded in the second quarter. So there's much to look at here and say this team had heart, and the offense was the same way. There were times that things didn't look that good and they could have folded and given up, but I really, really like what Maynard is bringing to this team from an effort and a heart standpoint. They don't give up with him there. He's a gunslinger who's going to keep trying. He's going to keep throwing. Third down doesn't feel so desperate and doom-filled. It's, even when it's third and 15, he can sling the ball down there and get something. Is it going to happen all the time? No, but there's hope. And the team is playing like they have hope. And that's really, really what I saw today that I like. I see a team that believes in itself and is playing like it can win games and is digging deep. And I think the altitude could have caused them to lose that heart. The altitude affected them a lot, but that team kept going. That team had heart, and that was what I was most impressed with today. If the Bears can keep that up, that level of, no, we are going to keep trying, we are going to make the adjustments, it doesn't matter how much pain, it doesn't matter how much gasping for air we're doing, we're going to keep trying here. It's just a really good feeling to see a team that has that sort of resolve. There are recent Cal Bear teams that would have lost that game, not because they didn't have the players, not because they didn't have the talent, but because they would have lost the effort and the heart needed to pull out that win. And we haven't seen any of that from this year's Bears, starting with the pick six the interception to start the game with Fresno State. You know, the Bears could have easily said, oh God, here starts a horrible season, and they didn't. They came back and they won that game walking away. And this game, much more difficult, much more tough to win. It required them to dig deep three or four different times, and they did it. And that made me feel really good about the team as a whole. And I think that's really the impression I want to give. There's those problems. I think the defensive line, maybe there's something about Colorado's defense that changed dramatically, but otherwise there's a lot to worry about there, particularly in pass rush. And run defense, we looked great. It was the pass rush that was the real issue there. But I saw heart in this team today, heart like I haven't seen in a little while. And that's very, very good to see. So a great win from a team heart standpoint, a great win from a keeping us on a great trajectory for bowl eligibility, going through non-conference 3-0, which we have to believe we're going to do with next week's very easy game against Presbyterian. Makes it that much easier. You only have to go 3-6 in the Pac-12 schedule, which, particularly looking at how down the conference looks right now, won't be that hard. I think it starts with that game at Washington 2 weeks from now. That with a big road win like this, this is a team that's going to have heart, that knows they can go on the road and win. I really think this was a breakthrough game in that regard for the Bears. So, as much as it was a nail-biter, as much as there's plenty to complain about, I think overall I'm excited. I feel great about this season. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure there are going to be some letdowns, but I just get the feeling that this is a team that's not going to give up the ghost after those letdowns. They're going to keep at it, and I'm feeling good all the way around in that regard. So, that's going to wrap it up for this week's edition of the On the Road Home podcast. Tune in next week when I'm actually on the road home from the Presbyterian game after our first experience at AT&T Park. And go Bears. On the road again.